That was beautiful, Britt. Thank you for sharing. That was really amazing. Thank you. We have two scriptures for today. We'll start with Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14. Hear this word. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. Then our second scripture is from the story from John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Hear this word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also may be. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the living out of these words be wholly acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I get a message from Cindy, I don't even know how long ago, saying, hey, Rev Steph, can you preach on today? And I said, yeah. And then it got closer. I looked at my schedule, it got closer. And I said, well, what's the theme for Sunday? Like, what are your ideas? And she said, well, it's Pride Sunday. I was like, oh, well, let's go. I could speak into Pride Sunday. I just feel really overwhelmed after what happened this week and with Pride and everything that's going on in our world. But this scripture for me and John, I've done, 250 funerals in my ministry, right? And I used to read this scripture a lot at a funeral, right? Because it gives you this sense of comfort that there's so much room in God's house, that there's a place for all of us, right? And then, I came out, and I'm part of the queer community now, and man, the story changes then, right? Like, well, there's room for some people that look like this and love that and follow these tenets, but, maybe it's not as vast and as wide, and there aren't as many rooms in God's house. And so the scripture, really changes when you look it through it with that lens, right? And then I think of all the different rooms in the four gospel stories, right? Even just like Jesus's last week and the last, I don't even know, up to Pentecost, really. Like, they're in the upper room for their last meal, right? And they're sort of huddled together. Jesus gives this prophecy to them, and they're like, no, that really can't be. And then, it happens. And then after that, after the crucifixion, they're all huddled in the room together on Easter. And the women come and tell the story, and no one believes them, so they have to leave the room, right, and go check because, why would a woman tell the truth? And then, on top of that, then, like, a week later, Jesus presents himself to the whole crew, except for who wasn't there, that one doubter, Thomas, right? So Thomas isn't there, and he says, I need to see the marks, right? And so there's the other room story. And then a couple weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, right? And they're all in a room, and there's this violent rush of wind that comes in, and the dove comes, and the flames, and they're all speaking in tongues, but they're in a room again, right? There's so many rooms. Just in those, 8 weeks of the story, there's so many rooms. And I can tell you, as a queer woman in today's world, rooms are really powerful. Because there's never a time that I enter a room with my family or with myself that I don't find myself casing the room. What are the messages people's clothes are sending to me? What are the messages that are said on their shirts? What are the signs? Does this look like a safe room for my family? And so I want to talk about that a little bit today, because the truth is they're not all safe rooms, right? We went out to dinner. We actually had a date with no kids last night. It's so unusual. And our son keeps asking us, what did you do last night? Why couldn't I be there? Because we needed time. But, you know, we live out in the Temecula Marietta area, and you guys think that Costa Mesa or Orange County is red, like, Temecula Marietta area is, like, bright red, right? And we went to a place yesterday that was purchased by two queer men. It's called Public House in downtown Temecula, and he's already had a couple drag shows there. And we went and we walked into this room and we just felt not unusual, right? We felt accepted. We felt home. We met the owner. We introduced ourselves to him. And it was just really powerful to have that experience of that room. So I want to tell you a couple stories about other rooms. So, you know, I'm a high school teacher. I teach AP. Government, AP European History, and then economics. And so as an AP teacher, our goal is to get to the test, right? And I tell my kids from the very beginning, I teach sophomores and seniors, and I tell them from the very beginning, we just got to get to the test, right? And then we'll take a deep breath. But it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You got to stick with me. And in my room, I have all, my kids know my family. I slowly introduce my family to them, right? Not that they come to my school, but or they don't anymore. But like, I have pictures of, I'm really honest about who I am, who I love, how I live. And I have a lot of safe signs in my classroom. And one of my classes in particular this year for my AP Euro class, you know, the real goal is to get to the test. And then they know after the test, it's like, we can all do this big solid, right? But the College Board of the AP, they schedule their test the beginning of May, and my school doesn't get out till the beginning of June. So we have a couple of weeks, right, to fill, and they're like, no more homework, right? No more assignments. No, I give them a couple fun projects, like they get to plan a trip to Europe and show me what they learned and what would be interesting. But this year, we always have a countdown, right? Like, when is to the end of school? And so I had this countdown up, and I think it said, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 days or whatever like that. And they started saying 7 or 6 or something like that. And I was like, no, you guys, this is the wrong date. Like, you guys are, you're on the wrong date. Like, we have this many days left. And they all sort of huddled around. It was my third period AP Euro class, little sophomores, and they're like, yeah, should we tell her? And they were like, well, yeah, it's Miss Toon, tell her. And so they were like, well, we're counting down to the first day of Pride. And I was like, oh, me too, guys. Like, so me too, right? And I just blurted out into my excitement. I said, we should have a Pride party on our last day of school. And they were like, really? And I said, well, yeah, of course. And then a little side story to this is my wife is also an educator, but she teaches elementary school. And so at her elementary school, she, you know, she's not, well, anyway, at her elementary school, she started what's called a unity club. She had to meet with her district multiple times to be able to start this club, right? Because they had to make sure all the ducks are in a row. It's just for fourth and fifth graders. Their parents had to sign for give them permission. It's once a week. It's during lunch. Everyone knows that they're going. She, yeah, like 47 kids the first day of the Pride Club. Like, amazing. Oh, sorry, unity. Can't call it Pride. In elementary school. And then a very conservative pastor in Marietta found out about it. And so while we were out with COVID, which is ironic because we were out with COVID, he came and attacked in the office and demanded to meet her and demanded to find out what was going on. And so now there's this whole investigation. So as soon as I blurted out, we should have a Pride party, I have this PTSD from what my wife has experienced for the last few months, right? And so I was like, maybe I need to ask. And so I asked my admin, and they were like, oh, of course, Miss Toon, of course. And they said, but you, my principal's amazing. She goes, but you have to have an option if they want to opt out of the Pride party, right? And so I told them, I said, okay, we're going to have a Pride party. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's what we're going to do. And if you don't want to come to the Pride party, I totally understand that you're not forced to participate. You can go to another classroom, my colleague's classroom, and while we're having our Pride party, you can write an essay on the Stonewall riots while we're having our Pride party. So strange, nobody took that option. So I have a video that one of my students put together from our Pride party, so I want you to see it.
Side Party. Shoutouts to Mrs. Two, best teacher ever.
Thank you.
Decoration. Five pin and earring. Five food table on point. So many snacks. Mrs. Two in all her fabulous glory. Roll call. Heartstopper. Jamming to Girl in Red. Thanks, Tune, and everyone for making this happen. Happy Pride, everyone.
I had three students leave that day. These are sophomores, so they're either 15 or 16 years old. I had three students leave class that day and say to me, "Miss Tune, I've never felt so safe on a school campus as I have in your classroom all year long." And while that is like so amazing to offer that opportunity, think about, they've been in school for 10 years. 180 days a year, those kids have to go to school, and they've been in school for 10 years and they've never found a place safe. This is what I'm talking about, being safe in rooms. Another room that's been a really safe room for me this year is we've made some really incredible friends in the last couple of years, and they've become family. Each of us have somebody on a set of parents that has not accepted them and has left them out, and so we call ourselves family. We're our family together, and I'm a good friend, and I'm a good family member, and one of the women, who's actually, it's her birthday today, we're going to celebrate with her after church today. She likes soccer, and I'm a huge sports fan. I love sports. Watching soccer to me is not exciting, because you can watch for 2 hours, and at the end of it, it's still 0-0, and I don't understand. I don't understand. It happens all the time. I don't understand. But I've, you know, being a good friend and family member, I've bought into it a little bit. It's called Angel City Soccer. It's a new professional women's team, and they're in LA. And one of the cool stories about Angel City is it's the first ever professionally owned sports team in the United States that's majority owned by women, which is really amazing. Abby Wambach and Serena Williams, some others. And so we went, they had their preseason games at Cal State Fullerton, we did that. And then we've gone to two games. What's it called, the stadium, Bronco of California, something like that? It's sponsored, of course. But it's literally in the shadow of USC, so it's in downtown LA. And I think this stadium holds like 17,000 people. There's literally not a bad seat in the house, right? But it was so amazing to take my family there. It was like what I said about dinner last night. Like, we walked in and you just felt normal. You felt included. Other people looked like you. It felt safe. And we've gone a couple of times now. We went on Mother's Day, which was incredible. We went with like six other two-mom families and their kids. And then we went, they had a Pride night this month, which was incredible. All of our kids could, you know, celebrate their families and be a part of that. And it's just such a safe room in a world where when you're queer, there's not a lot of safe rooms. And then the last place I want to talk about is church. Right? We left the Methodist Church because we had some trauma with that, because it wasn't safe for us or our family anymore. But there's two churches, this church and our church in Marietta, where I preach once a month, that when we walk in, we feel loved. We feel a part, we feel accepted, and we feel safe. And I think how sad that there's churches that's not true, right? There's rooms like that aren't true. And so when I read this scripture about I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, sometimes when you're in that community, you wonder, right? Because society says something different, or a lot of society says something different. And then there's so many rooms in God's house. And I think so many rooms, but we have to be exclusive. We have to have hate. We have to shut the door. We have to tell people they have to change. But I'm not sure that's the story of the gospel. I'm not sure that's what this is saying. And so I thank this place for this safe place and the other churches that are doing the work to provide that safe space. We saw the new Buzz Lightyear movie a couple of weeks ago. Opening night we went. My son just woke up from La La Land. We saw Buzz Lightyear. And if you don't know the story about Buzz Lightyear, there's been some controversy because his partner is a gay woman. She's a lesbian. And she marries a woman, and they have a kid together. And then when she dies, it's her granddaughter that becomes Buzz's partner. And there's it's such a side story to this huge, it's way too long of a kid's movie, length of time movie, if you ask me. Our kids didn't think so, but we did. But we left that and we went to dinner with our family, and there's four kids. And all of the kids said how neat it was to see their family in a Disney movie. Let's talk about indoctrination of Disney and how my kids have had to watch movie after movie that you need to be kissed by the prince to be saved. And then Buzz Lightyear comes out, and my kids recognize instantly that that's us. That's the safe room. May we create them, may we be them, and may we work for them.